Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When Pastor Ralph and I were sitting down doing the scheduling for the services, we decided that we would transport Epiphany, which was actually Monday, to this Thursday so we could still celebrate Epiphany here at Pilgrim. And then this Sunday, we will celebrate the baptism of our Lord so we don't get rid of one of those two great festivals of our church. And so it is interesting when one looks at the gospel lesson of the day that in the Eastern Orthodox Church, this text is read on Christmas morning because it is seen as Christmas for the Gentiles. It is also said that while Christmas is proof that God became flesh, became man, Epiphany, the season of Epiphany, is where we get the proof that this man is God for us. So as we celebrate Epiphany, please don't forget these things. Epiphany, the word Epiphany simply means to manifest or an appearance. And for the church, it is the commemoration of the coming of the wise men or the magi and the first manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles. The wise men, or magi, as the Greek actually has the word, were most likely pagan astrologers, students of wisdom, and dream interpreters of the Persian kings from the Babylonian Chaldean area. Their title appears in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament in the book of Daniel, and applies to those who were enemies of Daniel. This is not surprising since astrology as a form of divination was and is forbidden by Scripture. So as the prophet Daniel and other faithful Jews ended up, they would have counseled the king Nebuchadnezzar and others in Babylon, Babylonian kings and leading people. And when Judah was captive during the 70 years of the Babylonian captivity, this would have enabled them to know of prophecies concerning the coming king of the Jews. Think of Balaam, whose final oracle spoke of the star that would make the rising of the king, mark the rising of the king, excuse me, in Numbers 24:17. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. It shall crush the forehead of Moab and break down the sons of Seth. The Magi's coming then is also the fulfilling of Psalm 72, verses 10 and 11, as is prophesied there. May the kings of Tarshish and the coastland render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him, all nations to serve him. The Magi, the pagan astrologers, the Gentiles who sought the one born to be king of the Jews, who worshipped and bowed down and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, are a great witness to us as they become a foreshadowing of the New Testament church. A church that is determined not by our genealogy or our ethnicity, but rather by faith. Now, in preparing my sermon for tonight, I came upon a rather interesting commentary. It's called the Incomplete Works of Matthew. There's a Latin name for it, but I find that of no use for anybody tonight. But it was written in the 5th century and was originally attributed to Chrysostom, but he did not author it, and the author then has since become anonymous. But he says of these gifts, and I thought this was rather interesting, he says, they, the Magi, offered him gold that they had stored up for themselves. Moreover, recognizing his divine and heavenly coming to them, they made an offering of frankincense, a beautiful gift like a soothing speech of the Holy Spirit, Frankincense is a common incense that would be burned in the temple, and you would connect it clearly to the psalm, "Let my prayers rise before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." And then I thought this was just amazing what whoever wrote this said. I found it very profound. "Moreover, understanding as they did that human life is but a sepulcher." Never thought about it quite that way. Had you? Human life is but a grave, a sepulcher. They offered myrrh. Myrrh is an oil or ointment that is given to prepare a dead body for burial. And so these three gifts are given to Jesus, who is not just prophet and priest, but he is also sacrifice and savior. And then what I find most interesting, yet frustrating in this text, is the religious leaders. The Magi, they travel all the way to Jerusalem from Babylon to greet this new king, who is king of the Jews, because they'd seen a star. And now they get to Jerusalem, and they say to Herod, because you're going to go to a temple if you're going to see a king, right? But that's not where he's at. And then the text says, and Herod was troubled, and all Jerusalem was troubled with him, because Herod was not a nice man. He was rather a nasty man. We see the height of his nastiness, if you will, shortly after this account, when the wise men don't return to Jerusalem. What does Herod do? He sends his soldiers out to Bethlehem and he slaughters all the male children 2 years and younger. Has them all put to death. We call it the slaughtering of the innocents, as these young babies are made martyrs in service to the Lord. That's how nasty of a man he was. And yet, when questioning the scribes and the Pharisees about the prophecy that these Babylonians wouldn't have really had access to know, because it's from Micah and came much longer after the Babylonian captivity, the text they knew well. "O you Bethlehem and the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Surely these wise men, these scribes, these religious leaders, heard the rumors of the shepherds' reports of the message that the angel had spoken to the shepherds in the fields, and then that they had found what they had sought. Surely they had seen the star. I mean, you just don't have a star sit and rest above a house too often. And now the Magi's request, and yet it wasn't enough for them to go and worship the newborn king. Well, not here. He's not newborn. He's probably closer to two. They didn't seek the promised Messiah. They couldn't trouble themselves with the 5-mile trip to Bethlehem to search with the Magi. The only gifts they will bring to the Messiah come much later, when he's 33 years of age, and they get the Romans to give him a crown of thorns and a good whipping and then a cross to die on. Sad to say, we understand this situation all too well from our own lives. As many, even our family and friends, hear the word of God, but never follow it or come to worship Jesus. Dear friends, all of us have seen colorful Bible stories and pictures, biblical accounts reenacted in movies and TVs, on the TV, and have numerous copies, I would assume, of Bibles in our own language, in our own house. But are we always open to hear again the Holy Word of God? Are we willing to follow Jesus ourselves? Do we put aside everything else each day for God to let His Word have its way with our heart, mind, and thoughts? Or do we have a steady diet of the filth of this generation? Do we see and hear Him in the Word? Or have we fallen into the trap of looking for the wrong things in the Word? Only by God-given faith will we follow Jesus, worship Him, and bring Him gifts in thanksgiving for all God gives to us day after day. You see, the faith problem of the religious leaders in Jesus' day is ours as well. We are often lackadaisical with our faith. Our sinful hearts are like King Herod, and only have fear of one who might take our power. What rules your life now? Is it fear and anxiety? How idolatristic of us. Life doesn't need to be that way. Jesus offers through faith hope and joy. Don't you know that God cares more about you and your life than even you do? May we through faith hold on to all God's promises in His Word. His promises to help and heal and save us. He is with you always. Let your anxiety and trouble go. And I know it's much easier to say than to do. In fact, it's downright impossible to do. And that again brings us back to why Jesus had to come. That's why we can say thanks be to God that Jesus invites us to cast every care and every trouble on Him, and He promises us to sustain us. This is why we come and confess our faith, by confessing our sins of thought, word, and deed, done and left undone. For we Christians always need Jesus. So let us continually go to Bethlehem. The word literally means God's house of bread or house of bread. And as we come to God's house and receive Jesus, the bread from heaven, our bread of life, for the forgiveness of our sins and the certainty of our salvation, know that He gives you the gift of eternal life. Then being born from above by the Holy Spirit through water and word, as baptism is its own Christmas and Easter every day, as the same Holy Spirit by whom Jesus was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary is working on our hearts and the hearts of all who are baptized to bring them to faith, taking them from the death of sin to the new birth of water and Spirit. This same Spirit continues its work through the hearing of the Word of God today. Whether you're young or you're old, remain God's children, sharing Christ's body and blood in His Holy Supper, taking and eating His body and blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Jesus' flesh and blood now tabernacles in us through His means of grace. This is the good news and why the star can cause us to rejoice exceedingly with great joy. For by it, we have been guided to the place where we might bow down and worship our Savior and King. Though not by a star in the sky today, but by the working of the Holy Spirit in the Word of God, spoken by godly parents, believing co-workers, a friend perhaps, and I pray faithful pastors. And thanks be to God, we didn't have to take a camel ride and go through the desert to get there. We simply came to God's house where His Word is preached and His sacraments are administered according to Christ's command. And here today in God's house is now our Bethlehem, God's house of bread, where Jesus manifests epiphanies Himself for us, to you personally, in your mouth, in your ear, and in your heart. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.